And welcome to Christ Today. We have another segment. Today we have our guest, Reverend Brenda K. Dowden from the Women's Resource Clinic. Brenda, welcome to our show today.
Thank you.
And we are looking forward to hearing more about the Women's Resource Clinic, as well as your personal certifications, other things that if anybody wants to get involved in this kind of a ministry. And so let's go ahead and start with prayer. Let me go ahead and open up. Father God, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for this day and all days that you've given to us. We thank you for your blessings and your grace and your mercies, Lord, for your protection and your provision. And Father God, we pray now that you would bless our conversation and our fellowship. We pray that you would bless our words, our attitudes, and Lord, every decision that is made, let us lift up Christ Jesus. And let us lift up your kingdom, Father God. We hope that all will seek Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, and Lord would work, put their hand to the plow within your kingdom for your honor and glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And Brenda, welcome. Would you please describe for us the Women's Resource Clinic?
Sure. Women's Resource Clinic has been in place for 19 years now. We've served over 22,000 women over the course of the 19 years, and we are a pregnancy resource clinic. Within that, we do a lot of different things. The main thing that we're there for is a young woman who's in a unplanned pregnancy. We also do medical appointments, ultrasounds. We have an Earn While You Learn program, which is a parenting program that teaches young people how to be a good parent. They take and they come in and they have a mentor and they watch a DVD, many DVDs that we have on parenting. And they earn baby bucks as they take the DVD series. And they take those baby bucks, and we actually have a boutique in our facility that's like a baby store. And they come in and they use their baby bucks to purchase things from the store. So not only are they learning how to be a good parent by watching the DVDs, but they're actually learning a life skill by the fact that it's like you're working, you get paid, and then you get to spend your money. So we're teaching them several things at once by doing that.
Excellent. And how many babies would you say are saved in a regular month?
It's so hard to say that, because when a gal comes in, all we know for sure is, or at least we know, think we know, you know, it depends on her decision-making at that point. She may tell us she's going to keep the baby. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't know. We'll try to get a hold of her through the pregnancy if she gives us permission to. And some of the gals will follow through, but I'm sorry I can't give you actual numbers. That's just impossible. But we do our best to try to encourage them to keep their child, because the baby is not the sin. The baby is the gift. And we know that abortion is just a second thing. That if she chooses to abort, I mean, it's her business, it's the law, she can, but she's going to have a lot of repercussions from the abortion that are going to be just really bad for her future.
Spiritual and mental emotional.
Yeah, a lot of gals will have one, and they'll cover those emotions they'll cover the grief up for 40 or 50 years, and then it comes out later, sometimes in mental illness and in other ways, affecting the rest of their lives until they get some healing from it.
Absolutely, and that is key. I think that key for our listeners, that a lot of people don't understand the trauma that comes with a decision like an abortion that you don't see it on the surface. You can't look at somebody and say, you know, there's trauma there, but it's deep.
You know, half the people sitting in a church pew have had an abortion.
Yeah,
half the people. And it's something that we don't talk about. If you lost a child, or you lost a grown child, or you lost a spouse, you'd have a funeral. People come around you and grieve with you and love on you and help you through that process. But when a woman has an abortion, it's a shameful thing. It's a hidden thing. She doesn't want to talk about it. She doesn't want anybody to know about it. And so she doesn't really have a support system to get through that grief of that loss. So she just crams it. And eventually it comes out. It comes out a lot of times in depression or in other places in her life.
Absolutely. And that's what one commentator said is, when you bury things alive, it never comes back prettier.
Yeah. The good thing is, you know, we have serve a redeeming Lord, and he's able to heal everything that we experience in life if we allow him to. And we offer a post-abortion counseling and education class so that women can get free. And also, if the guy wants to come, we're also trying to minister to the men and the women.
Yes, absolutely. And that is important because, you know, it is in Scripture, as a matter of fact. And I think it's Luke 10, maybe? It's the story of Martha and Mary, okay? And it's an interesting story in its own right because the story starts out with a woman named Martha and her sister called Mary. Now, I heard about this, you know, from in a scripture teaching from, I think it was Beth Morin. It's interesting that one is named and one is called. And what's the difference between named and called? And the idea being that the one that is called Mary, okay, obviously she was living up to her name. And when we go back to the book of Ruth, and Naomi is coming back into Bethlehem, the house of bread, and they say, no, Naomi is back. And she says, no, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Mara meaning bitter, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly for me. So obviously, Mary, the sister of Martha, being called Mary, was living up to her name. And the story goes on that Martha was involved in many, many things. You know, she was busy about many things. And Mary chose the better portion, sitting at Jesus' feet. Why? She was being healed of that bitterness. She was being healed of that baggage. She was being healed of what was affecting her. And I guess my question would be, my point being, how many people who are injured emotionally, injured spiritually, through an abortion, how many are covering that up with busyness rather than sitting at the Master's feet and being healed? You know, we need as a church to be healed. We need to be cleansed, but we're not going to get cleansed and we're not going to get healed through busyness.
Right. That's an excellent point.
You know, and that's the, I think that what we need to do, why don't we go ahead and take this moment, why don't you pray for those who would be otherwise trying to be busy, trying to do a self-help here. Let's go ahead and lift them up to the Lord right now.
Father, we just come before you. We thank you, Lord, that you are an approachable Lord, that you're always there for us, Father, and that you aren't there with a sledgehammer ready to slam us when we mess up, when we sin, when we do things that are less than what your word says, Father. But you are there to love us. You are there to redeem us and to help us and to hold us when we're hurting and when we're struggling, Lord, with things in life or things maybe that we've done in the past. I just pray, Lord, right now for anybody listening, Lord, that you would just wrap your arms around them. Lord, that you would just let them feel your love. Let them feel your acceptance and your peace. Your word says in John 14:27, that your peace you give us, your peace you leave us, and that we can put your peace on like we would put on a mantle or a throw over our shoulders when we're cold. And I just pray, Father, that they would feel that like a garment, your peace like a garment upon their shoulders, Lord. I pray for your healing touch. And I pray, Lord, that they would learn, you know, it says in Isaiah, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with like wings with eagles. They will run and not be weary. As we wait on you, as we're still before you at your feet, that you strengthen us, that you speak to us, that you renew us, Father, that you speak truth and deliverance to us, and that you give such love when we're just sitting at your feet. And, Lord, that's what we need more than busyness. That's what we need more than anything in life that would try to fill that void that you've put in our hearts. There's a void in our hearts that's only made for you, and nothing else will satisfy it. So I just pray, Father, right now that you would just come in and fill that heart that's listening with your Holy Spirit in a new and a fresh way. I just pray for just an amazing experience with you as I'm praying this. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Sorry, we let the Holy Spirit run his course when we're here. So let's go ahead and get back a little bit to the Women's Resource Clinic. How do people contact you?
They're welcome to come by the clinic. We're open Monday through Thursday from 10 to 5. We also have a mobile clinic that's out on the parking lot of the East Life, Life Church on East Avenue. And it's there on Tuesdays from 10 to 4. So that they can either stop at one or the other location. They can also call us at 897-6101. And we'd be happy to talk to them on the phone if that works better for them. We also have a website at www.womensresourceclinic.org.
Excellent. Excellent. So there's multiple ways of contacting you. Mm-hmm. How many people, especially with the post-traumatic stress where they need to go ahead and have counseling, do you find that the same people are coming for multiple counseling sessions to get through some of this?
Well, the way that the PACE program works, which is the post-abortion counseling and education program, is it's a 10-week Bible study, and one of the studies we do is Forgiven and Set Free. And you go through that study with an instructor. And we keep the group small because you're sharing things that are very personal and just, it's trauma. You know, you're sharing trauma, and you need to be in an environment where you feel safe and you feel like you can open up and get some things out. And so we have found that God just begins to open up the hearts as they are together in the small group. And you, through the process, ask the Lord to forgive you. You forgive yourself. You ask the child to forgive you and anybody else that you need to work through forgiveness with. And then towards the end of the 10 weeks, the Lord is so gracious about showing the mother if the child was a boy or girl, naming the child, having a memorial service for the child, so that you actually get to grieve like you would if you had a funeral, to get past that and get it behind you so you can close that door and move forward.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, instead of necessarily automatically assuming that it's going to get to an abortion, let's talk about the, before it ever gets to that point, how many people are looking at an abortion as the solution of a problem? And it never is. It really never is. It's a gift. Children are a gift from God.
Right, right.
And yet you have some that in their confusion, and that's the only word I can label it with, in their confusion, they think that that is the solution that's going to save a relationship or going to save, you know, something. There's something out there that this abortion is going to solve. And abortions never solve anything. They create. That's like, oh, I've got this huge problem. Let's go get drunk. Like, that's right. Going to go ahead and solve a lot of problems. It's not going to solve anything. It's actually going to create more problems.
Right. Well, you know, if she wasn't trying to protect herself while having the relationship with the man, and she finds out that she's pregnant, of course, she's usually in shock. And most women will give their bodies away because they were looking to be loved. And so by the time she comes in, the last thing we want to do is try to cast judgment on her or preach to her. We want to love her.
Mm-hmm.
We're all about non-judgmental, you know, atmosphere, and we would just want to be a support system for her. If a woman feels she has really good support, more than likely she'll keep the child.
Excellent.
So that's our goal. And even if she does choose to abort, we're still going to love her.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because that's what she was looking for when she got pregnant.
It's an unfortunate choice, but it's God's allowing them to have that choice. We can't take that choice well, away.
And if a woman goes out and she gets pregnant, let's say she gets pregnant and she aborts, she's still looking to get loved. She's mm-hmm. probably going to find herself in the situation again. And the second time around, she's going to not be able to bear the pain of a second abortion. She's going to come back, and what are we going to do? We're going to love her. We're going to be there for her and her child.
Absolutely. How many people come to you and are in the middle of some type of an addictive behavior or addiction?
Oh, again, that's hard to put a number on. All I can tell you is, you know, we see at least 2,000 women a year. And out of that, of course, there's a percentage that have some sort of addiction. And we don't deal with addictions necessarily at the clinic, although we have a huge resource manual that's probably 3 or 4 inches thick of locations and different groups in town. Some are county, some are just other nonprofits like us, where we can send her for resources, whether she needs clothing or housing or food or shelter, whatever it is she needs.
So the it's a full service.
Oh yeah.
Community.
Yes, absolutely.
How many other networks do you reach out to on a regular basis that you could pick up the phone now and just call them and say, "Oh, I know these guys over here that."
Several dozen places here in town. The Sabbath House, the Tory Shelter, the Jesus Center, multiple churches, and we have a list of all the churches in town. So if she tells us, you know, I was raised this or I was raised that, we'll connect her with that body of believers. Or if she lives in a certain place and she's on foot and doesn't have transportation, we'll look at a map and say, hey, this church is close to where you live, you know, if it's something you want to try to plug in, so that she fits in somewhere in the body of Christ to get some family around her, some support system around her.
Okay, how about somebody that comes to you that she has, you know, okay, so she has this unplanned pregnancy in uh-huh. her life, but she doesn't know the Lord at all.
Uh-huh.
Where do you start with somebody like that? How do you?
Well, we just, you know, we have an intake form. We go through that with her. And most of the time when you're in the room, the counseling room with a client, you got to think about their mentality. When they come in to see us, they're pretty shook up. They're pretty scared. They're distraught, many of them. And we do our best to just love them. And lots mm-hmm. of times there's a heart connection with that young person, with the client advocate. And so if they really connect, you know, and we ask them questions like, we don't just shove the gospel down their throat. We ask them, can we mm-hmm. share, have you heard of the gospel? Can we share it with you? And if they say yes, we do. And if they say no, we respect their boundary. And a lot of times if there's a heart-to-heart connection before they leave, we'll ask them, can we give you a hug, you know, like a mom? Mm-hmm. And again, we're just so careful about everything we do, how we treat them, if we touch them or not, just everything, because we don't know where she's been. We don't know if she's grown up in a home where she was molested or taken advantage of physically or in what regard. So we're just extra careful with our clients.
Excellent. Let's go ahead and take a break, take our first break.
Hope I'm answering what you wanted to hear. Always different every time.
And welcome back to Christ Today. One of our sponsors is Pastor Bill Hammond from Lighthouse Tabernacle on Ohio Street in Gridley, California. So, Brenda, welcome back. Brenda Dowden from the Women's Resource Clinic. And absolutely, you're spot on with what we're looking for. We're looking for information about somebody, how approachable the ministry is. And that's really important, isn't it, to have a ministry where people feel safe. People, even if they don't have a spiritual connection with Jesus Christ, they're not going to get the gospel shoved down their throat. They're going to be loved.
That's
and
right.
Love is going to be that which breaks through. It's not going to be somebody's doctrine or something else. It's going to be love. So let's talk a little bit about you. You have a title in front of your name called Reverend, okay? So let's talk a little bit about you. You are the executive director of the Women's Resource Clinic. How does somebody become, how did you start in this particular ministry? And tell us a little bit about how you prepared yourself to work in this sort of women's ministry? And then also a little bit of the timeline, were you a minister before you came to the clinic, or were you a minister, did you get your minister's license afterwards?
Wow. You know, everyone's journey is different. And some people go to seminary and some don't. And I didn't go to seminary. God saw fit to do it a different way with me. I've always had a heart for the Lord. I got saved when I was 17 and was determined to serve God with all my heart, mind, and soul. And started down in Gridley where I got saved and just kept after the Lord. And the Lord moved my husband and my children up to Chico about 11 years ago. And but while I was still down in Gridley, the Lord plugged me into a ministry called AGLOW. And I've been in AGLOW International for about 20 years. And I'll have to say that is the place where God groomed me up, has been AGLOW.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, is that a local ministry or is this a...
It is. It's an international ministry where AGLOW is in 170 so nations. There's about 181 known nations in the world. We're in about 170 of them. I'm the area president for AGLOW in this part of the state of California.
Excellent. So if somebody wanted more information about that particular ministry, how would they do that?
They could go to aglow.org, aglow.org, and get plugged in. And it's an amazing ministry. It mentors you. It's like an accelerated Bible school and school in the Spirit all at the same time.
Excellent. Excellent. So now, are you licensed through them?
Is that... No, I'm actually licensed through a small denomination that's out of Lodi.
Oh.
And I've been mentored by this husband and wife couple who've been Christians all their lives, and it's... called Running with the Lion Ministries, and that's where I got my ordination, and I'm still under their leadership, of course, and mentorship.
Yes, and that's important to have a
absolutely.
Covering.
Absolutely.
You have to have a covering on your ministry.
Yeah.
So you have on your business card, you've given me your business card, the initials behind your name are LAS. Explain that.
Life Affirming Specialist, and you have to... I can't tell you all the qualifications right now because I don't have it in front of me, but you have to go through certain criteria of training to become a life-affirming specialist. And some of that's through Heartbeat International. Some of it's just through everyday work and pregnancy clinics.
How many college classes or anything else like that, community college classes, did you have to take for any certifications or anything?
I didn't have to. I have taken 3 or 4 different courses on business and different areas. Everybody's different that comes into the pregnancy clinics. There's some that have come through like myself, and then there's others that have come through with full degrees. You know, and I believe that when God, my husband always says, when God appoints you, he anoints you. And that is so true. I mean, I am so dependent on the Holy Spirit. I know that it's not in my own ability, but it's through the direction of the Lord that I'm able to do my job as well as I can.
Well, absolutely. And as an image of the body of Christ, also, you're not responsible to do all the things. You have a lot of help that surrounds
right.
you.
Right, I do. I really do. I have about 25 volunteers that are just the hands and feet of Jesus. Those women and a few men are amazing. And they get out there and they do the work of the ministry and they represent us so well. And then I also have 4 amazing employees who are also just so diehard pro-life and hard workers. So and then plus we have a board of directors who freely donate their time and support me and support our staff. And they're there for me to tap into for wisdom and counsel. So it takes a team.
Absolutely.
To do what we do.
And how many medical professionals do you have coming in?
We have 3 RNs, and then we have 1 doctor who's our medical director, and he's Dr. Scott Mellum. He's our OBGYN.
Is he on staff, or is he a volunteer?
He's a volunteer. None of the professionals they're all volunteers. They're not paid to do what they do for us.
Oh, excellent. So if anybody was out there that had the professional qualifications, then...
We'd be thrilled to have them come and be a part. whether we need RNs, always need RNs, and it'd be great to have another medical doctor, especially if they're OBGYN.
Okay. What about the equipment that you use there?
We have an outdated, well, not outdated, but it's pretty old ultrasound machine. It's not like the new 3D where you can see so much of the baby's face now and little body, but you can definitely see the little, you know, person in there. It's just not as clear as the newer ultrasound machines that they have now.
Too clear to deny that they're a person.
Oh,
though.
Yeah. You can see they're a little human being in there. Absolutely. You see the heartbeat. Yeah. As soon as you see that heartbeat, it changes everything.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And it's a paradigm that needs to be opened here because we have so many people that are being lied to by the secular world that says, this is nothing but a glob.
Well, you know, we've told it, I've said it many, many times, though, the ultrasound is the window to the womb. And when you see inside that womb from that ultrasound machine, there's no denying that's a human being. And it's really hard at that point to abort that little baby.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, there's a heart change.
Right, that's right. So if we can get a gal to come in and have an ultrasound and then let her determine what she wants to do, but 95% of those gals that do keep their babies.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. So you're a nonprofit. The Women's Resource Clinic is a nonprofit.
Yes.
If somebody wanted to go ahead and help you out, not buy the whole machine, but maybe donate to you know, machines or equipment or other things like that.
Right. We fundraise. That's part of a big part of my job. And our annual budget's about $290,000. And so we are busy working at trying to do the ministry as well as fundraising at the same time so that we can keep going and touch more of the women in our community. So, we'd love to have donations. Always welcome.
Excellent.
And it's a tax write-off.
Now, how do you do your fundraising?
We have several things that we do. We do newsletters twice a year. We do a year-end appeal letter. We do the Walk for Life, and we do our fall banquet. And all those are the fundraising things that we do. We also do baby bottles where we'll go in and speak at churches, and they get a huge baby bottle, and we encourage them to fill it up with change and bring it in. I mean, it's not a lot of money, but it helps. Every bit helps.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So how does a church get one of your baby bottles?
Just call us up. We'll deliver it. Even give you two or three if you want them.
Okay. Well, and you know, that's so important. It's so important. You know, there's been a lot of criticism within the last years, and some of this is maybe justified in that fingers being pointed at the Christian community that says, hey, you know, you're speaking pro-life here, but you're not taking care of the whole needs of these people.
Yeah.
We need to go ahead and do more about the, you know, let's say the person does end up keeping the baby, you know, and now how did your ministry work with those who have chosen to keep the little one? Are you pointing them to other ministries beyond yours?
Yes. Yeah, we'll, you know, like I said, we'll walk through them through the Earn While You Learn program until we have up to size toddler 2 baby clothes, and they can come back as often as they want and do the parenting things, parenting DVDs there. And so we stay with her for a year or two, you know, and then we also try to hook her up with a church, you know, so that she can get into a church family somewhere in town to get that support system so she's not alone.
Okay, excellent, excellent. And that's so important to have the entire community of Christ involved with this.
Right.
What about for those people who don't, you know, they've come in, they're not, I don't want to say cold to the things of Christ, but they have never met Christ, and yet they're moving, you know, they want to keep the baby, and they're trying to move on, but they don't want to be, you know, they don't necessarily want to be linked with
an
Christian community organization. Are there other secular organizations that...
Well, you know, if she needs housing or something like that, we'll try to send her to the Jesus Center or some of those places. But outside of that, our client advocates will continue to call and just try to keep that relationship going and just speaking into her and spending time with her. We try to be there as much as we can for the clients. It's just depending on what they want from us, how much they need us.
So. Okay. Well, and this is seems like a really good time to inject a little bit of scripture here. Psalm 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward."
That's right.
So, you know, even if they don't have, you know, that's a good place to start a conversation with somebody that doesn't think that this child is from God. No, really, it is from God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And talk a little bit about those who are taking God's reward, God's gift, and, you know, basically setting it aside. I mean, you know, we know we have a loving God. We know we have a loving Father. But that has got to be a huge, you know, slap in the face of, I'm going to take your gift and set it aside and not do anything with this. How do we minister to those who, you know, they have all the information, they have every bit of data, and they still, you know, they still refuse to open their heart to a new person in their lives? How do you know? I know that we love on them and love on them and love on them and love on them. It must be hard for you guys to send out, you know, send people out knowing that they may be doing the wrong thing, regardless of all your efforts.
Right. Yeah, it is, because the client advocate can feel like, I failed. You know, I did my best, but I failed because I couldn't show her enough information to help her make a decision for life. So what I end up doing, or our staff does with our volunteers, is try to minister to them at that point, because they're hurting for the gal that just walked out and is going to abort. And so we will, you know, gather, two or three of us gather, and pray for our client advocate or whoever it was that took the little gal back in the room. And then we'll pray again, pray that the Lord would continue to speak to the client and help her to make a right decision. And, I mean, we just have to lay it at the feet of Jesus, you know, at that point. There's not a lot more we can do. We have to honor her boundaries and honor her as a client, and, you know, and so we're kind of, at that point, we're done with it.
Well, and this is kind of where I was going with all this, because there is a condition among, especially the Christian community who is involved in the day-to-day service of others, that it's called compassion fatigue. And after a while, a person can start to get a little bit cold, you know.
Yeah.
And how do you prevent that in your ministry? Because you have to deal with lot of tragedy from time to time.
Every day of my life, I spend 2 hours on my face before the Lord before I ever get to the clinic. That is the only way that I can survive
and
keep my heart pure before the Lord.
And is there prayer, a lot of prayer within your...
Absolutely. We pray twice a day. We pray at 9:45 and at 1:30 every single day. We pray with... We have 8 shifts of volunteers that come in through the week, 2 or 3 each shift, plus our staff. And so when we get a new shift of volunteers in, we stop and we pray with them. And we do a devotion together, usually about 15, 20 minutes we do this. Sometimes we'll go into prayer and it lasts a little bit longer because there's some prayer needs and we're going to go after it. So we'll war over those things, you know, as the Lord leads us, and share scripture and things God's speaking to us as a team, and just really pray into those things. So I love that part of the ministry, because God just really comes down during those times.
Well, and this is really important.
Yes, it is. A
ministry of service has to be bathed in prayer.
Absolutely.
If it's not, it's not going to be. It's not going to have the agape love.
Yeah.
It'll have other forms of love.
Right.
I mean, there are pregnancy centers that are not Christian based.
Right.
And they can give them, you know, the brotherly love.
Right.
But they can't, you know, the agape love comes only through the Holy Spirit.
I don't ever want to lose touch of what God is saying in a ministry, or I don't want to be a part of it. You know, like Moses said, you know, where are you going, Lord? That's where I want to go. And that's where I want to go, and I want our organization to go. When I first got involved with Aglow about, like I said, over 20 years ago, the Holy Spirit, when I was praying, showed me this little red rider wagon, and there were wheels on it. And he said to me, he said, "You see those wheels?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, you see that wagon? And I said, yeah. And he said, that wagon is your ministry. He said, but those wheels, that's prayer. And he said, as long as you're praying, you'll be able to pull that forward. But he said, the minute you stop praying, you're not going to be able to move an inch. And so I have always had that in the forefront of my mind, that that's how you need to operate any ministry.
Well, absolutely. And that is such an important point to every Christian ministry that's in our hearing. Is that if you're not praying for your ministry and bathing your ministry in prayer, it's like pulling a cart uphill with no wheels.
Right, that's right.
It's going to get stuck in the mud. You cannot do it without being bathed in prayer,
yeah,
because the Lord has to be in it.
Right.
And the Lord, you know, I think it's Psalm 22 or something that says, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people.
Yes.
We have to take time during,
yes,
the victories when we see something,
yes,
happening that was, especially the unexpected victories, it's that which comes out of our mouth that keeps us going. Life,
mm-hmm,
and death are in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
We need to be praising the Lord for the things that he's doing.
I'll tell you a victory story if you'll let me.
Please.
Chico, up until this past year or so, Chico had one of the very highest abortion rates of all the cities per capita in the state of California. We have two abortion clinics, and we have two pro-life clinics. One is Birthright, and then Women's Resource Clinic. The Lord had spoken to a few of us that we needed to go to a certain place, a high place, and begin to pray every month and to break the back of abortion. And we began to do that. We did it every month for a whole year. And this past October, we were told that one of the employees to one of the abortion clinics in town came out and told the people out praying in front of the facility that they had lost their job because their abortion rates had gone from 30 a week down to 9 a week. So we know that God heard our prayers. He heard our diligent prayers to go and to just to begin to declare life. And we went up to this place that was above the city of Chico, and we prayed John 10:10. Jesus would come and bring life and that more abundantly.
So we have about a minute before our next break. So did any of these folks that were working in the abortion clinic, have they received the gospel? Have they?
Well, we don't know. And, you know, we're praying that way, that God would close the abortion clinics down and would put them back out in society in places that are positive, and that he would show himself strong to them. We're praying blessing over them. We're not praying evil things, bad things. We're praying that God would bless them in a way that they would turn their hearts to the Lord.
Very good. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. And welcome back to Christ Today. We want to go ahead and honor our sponsors. We have one of our sponsors is Pastor Ken Malone at New Life Church, which is at 965 Grand Avenue in Thermalito. He's got worship services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we would encourage you to go ahead and check out the New Life Church and on Sunday. So we're back with Reverend Brenda Dowden of the Women's Resource Clinic, and we just ended our last segment with a declaration, and we should praise God that abortions are down in Chico, enough to impact even the employment. And Father God, we do thank you,
yes,
in Jesus' name for showing the people of Chico life, for encouraging them, for working on their hearts and their minds. And we hope, Lord, that this will draw them also to a life-saving relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. So praise the Lord that we have, that we're impacting the abortion rate in Chico. And I'm reminded that the Apostle Paul called himself the chief of sinners, and yet he ended up being one of the world's greatest evangelists ever, wrote about half the New Testament. And, you know, Jesus himself said that those who are forgiven much love much.
Right.
And I'm praying that some of these folks that previously worked in abortion clinics will find their way to your door and will be, you know, some of your best volunteers and advocates for life, knowing that what they did, you know, is not that which is the righteous path of God.
So. Right. Right. You know, Abby Johnson, who ran one of the biggest abortion clinics down in Texas, was working next to Sean Carney, who was one of the co-founders of 40 Days for Life. And she actually came to the Lord watching them out front, praying that abortion would stop. And God saved her and really, well, actually, I think she was a Christian, but she just didn't see the evil in abortion. It was like she was blinded. But then she was there in the room when she needed to help out with an abortion, and she actually got to see the baby move away from the instrument to try to, because of the pain that was going on in the wound, because they were, you know, in the abortion procedure, that they pull the baby apart to get the baby out. And she got to see that, and it changed her heart, and she realized what she had been a part of, and she got out of it. And now she's a huge pro-life speaker. She goes all over the nation trying to get women to choose life over abortion. She also ministers to past employees of the abortion clinics, just the very thing you're talking about.
Absolutely, because they need healing,
yes,
too.
Yes, they do, absolutely.
There is a spiritual and an emotional trauma that
right.
these folks are going through that
right.
they don't even realize sometimes until they come into the light.
Yeah, can you imagine feeling responsible for several thousand deaths, realizing it's like God opened your eyes overnight and you realized what you were doing? I'm sure that's what the Apostle Paul felt like when he realized that he was persecuting the church, the very thing he said he stood for.
Absolutely.
You know, when Jesus said, Paul, you know, why are you persecuting me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and woke him up and blinded his eyes so he could actually see spiritually.
Absolutely. And I just want to put in a plug, and this is this is going to be, you know, some people are going to receive this probably the wrong way. But, you know, on Facebook the other day, I saw an article, a news article, about a horse that had been injured in the riots down in Albuquerque. And you see all these different comments about how sad they were that the horse got injured. And you know, some of these guys are Christian. And I'm like, you know, I love animals. There's nobody that likes animals and loves animals more than I do. But I really, really think that this is misplaced judgment and misplaced faith when we are up in arms about a horse that gets injured during a riot, and we have literally thousands of babies dying every single day in our country.
That's right.
And I'm like, come on, guys, let's get with the program. Let's
right.
find out what God really, what breaks his heart. His heart was broken because we, you know, in days of yonder, it's in the Bible right here, where they had all the heathens were sending their children through the fire. And that is, in essence, in worship of pagan gods.
Yeah, the god of Moloch.
Yes. And that's what abortion stands for. That's what it represents, is a I don't want to say a pleasure, but a compromise. Let's do things the easy way. Let's go ahead and do things that are less complicated, less difficult. God asks us to do the difficult things because that's what gives us the reward.
That's right. That's right. It's just sad. It's so sad. You know, when someone comes through on the other side and realizes what they've done, you know, it's just a hard place to live.
Absolutely. And you know, I just want to make that, I just want to go ahead and you know, make the point that if we've got a lot of people up there that are giving hundreds or thousands of dollars to, you know, all these animal rights groups, you know, we've got little rights. We've got babies that have more rights even. Just because, and we, as the Bible says, we have to be that voice that speaks for those that do not have a voice.
That's right.
So my suggestion would be, it's clinics like the Women's Resource Clinic that need our Christian support and need our our monetary support. Let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's go ahead and do the good work that we're called to do. So let me ask you, are there any life scriptures that you bring with you to this kind of a ministry?
Well, you know, I have my own scriptures God's given me, and I believe, of course, since I'm called as the director, that they affect our ministry. The first scripture that he really gave me was Jeremiah 33:3. For about a year, I kept, everywhere I'd go, I'd see the number 333. Finally, I started to get a clue that maybe God was trying to say something. So I began to ask him, are you trying to show me something, Lord? Because everywhere I go, I see this 333. So he absolutely told me to turn to Jeremiah 3:33, and that scripture is, call to me and ask me, and I'll show you great and mighty things you don't know of. And I believe that's God's strategy scripture. I attended a conference about 2 years after that, and a GLOW conference down in Phoenix, Arizona, and we had a speaker, Dutch Sheets, and he got up and he said, I know you women, I know everybody that's out there, I know, you know, how God speaks to you, because I know what crowd I'm speaking to. And he says, how many of you know what 333 is? And the room erupted. There were like 5,000 women that just went crazy. And there were, of course, several hundred men there as well. And he said, you know, Jeremiah 33:3 is God's strategy scripture. And so I'm always praying that, praying for God's strategy on how to run Women's Resource Clinic, how to conduct my life, and how to live for God. So definitely that's one of them. The other one for the clinic, I believe, that really is, to me, is our motto is John 10:10, that he came to bring life and that more abundantly, and Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. So those are scriptures that I'll take with me till the day he takes me home.
Well, absolutely. And that's so important also to the Lord has to be a part of this ministry.
Absolutely.
We can do nothing without him.
That's right. That's right.
And so if he's not in it, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
It's that cart without wheels.
Right, right. Another scripture he's given me is Isaiah 22:22, that he opens the doors that no one can open, and he closes the doors he wants closed. And so when I come up against opposition or something going on, I'll just begin to pray that scripture. You know, God, just open the doors you want open, and you just close the ones that need to be closed. You know, if there's opposition coming towards us, would you close those doors for us? If we need to go into a certain direction, Lord, would you open those doors? And he's faithful to do it.
Talk a little bit about the doors that the Lord has opened right here in Chico. You talked about the door that was closed, and it was closed to abortion. But talk about the doors, some of the doors you see that might open in the future. Or that you're praying for.
Well, I'm praying that abortion just won't be that we won't have abortion in Chico. I'm praying that he causes the two abortion clinics that we have to go away, and that the option would be pro-life clinics, you know, or that they could go to, you know, clinics. Certainly there are clinics in town where if a woman needs help in other areas, she can go. You know, there's lots of clinics in town where she can go and get other kinds of care. If she needs a mammogram or annual visit or those sorts of things, there are lots of clinics. She does not need none of the women in town need to be able to have an abortion clinic, as far as I'm concerned, because it's just going to bring death, you know.
What about the laws in California? How do they affect our abortions that are provided to our young girls?
Well, the laws in our state, unfortunately, are getting more and more liberal and more towards pro-choice. But even though that's happening, what I see is people are just sick and tired of having the government and different entities trying to cram down their throat that they have to accept abortion, or that they have to accept some of the things that the government's trying to say. And the people are just getting tired of it. I think all over our nation, they're just tired of it. They're tired of all the, I won't even go into the other issues that we could talk about here. But as far as the one that I'm involved with, which is pro-life, I can tell you from my standpoint and from my seat that when we went down to the state capitol this past year and tried to battle AB 775, there were close to 300 of us that went before the assembly floor asking them to vote no on AB 775, but they went ahead and voted for it. And so the politicians that are in place right now in the state of California, there's very few Republicans or mostly Democrats. they're not listening to the voice of the people. They're doing what the special interest groups behind them are paying them to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not listening to the multitude of the people.
Well, yeah, and that's a problem
a
at every
problem.
Level.
Yes, it is. It's a huge problem, but God's going to deal with it.
He really is.
Yep.
Hopefully some of these folks will repent and will turn and recognize the truth before judgment has to finally remove them.
That's right.
But so let me ask a question. How does somebody, let's say somebody's listening, and I don't want to say a young person, but necessarily somebody maybe who was displaced or is looking for a change or something. How do they get involved in your ministry as a volunteer?
They just come by and ask to see me, and I'd be happy to give them some time. And if they're interested, they can fill out a volunteer application, and we do a couple reference checks. And then I schedule them to come in and do the training with us, and they can come in and volunteer.
Now, is that the best way to get involved with this particular organization? Start with a volunteer and as a volunteer?
You know, it depends on what God lays on your heart. You can pray if you don't have finances to give. You can give financially if you have it. Or you can come in and volunteer. Those are three super easy ways. Or you can even do all three. And we do need men, too, because we need men to drive our mobile clinic. I really want, when we have a team of women out ministering to young women, I really prefer, since they're out in the community, to have a man driving just as a presence to protect our gals.
Absolutely. That's very important. And also it's important to have that support that is community wide. This is not
correct.
Just a
yes.
gender issue here.
No.
This is something that the entire church
it's
cares
about.
It's
a family issue. Yes.
To give you a really, really boring story, perhaps, years and years and years ago, when the earth was still cooling, I was stationed with somebody whose friend had an abortion against his will, but he didn't have legal rights in the issue. And it tore him up.
Right.
He was in need of counseling every bit as much as she later probably was, because it was something he wanted, and he had no rights. He had no choice. And that's the tragedy, is sometimes people feel like they actually are in charge of some of their destiny, you might say, and yet they don't know that they have the choices they have until they come and see you and say, obviously, you have people that just walk in and say, I don't know what my choices are. I don't know what my options are.
Right, right. And, you know, if a woman comes in and she thinks she's pregnant, she basically has three choices. She can carry and parent, she can carry and adopt, or she can abort. And so when she comes in, we give her all the information that we have, all the facts on all three areas, and then she has to make that determination. We don't tell her what to do, but we do give her all the facts.
Excellent. Well, we're getting close to the end here. Could you go ahead and give us a prayer to challenge our listeners for their involvement?
Sure. Thank you, Father, for this time. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would go out and draw those in that need to come and be a part of Women's Resource Clinic for this season. Lord, your word says in Proverbs 31:8 that the oppressed are crushed, and that you're looking for the godly. You're looking for the virtuous people to stand up and be a voice for those who have no voice, those whose voices are being crushed. And there's no one that's more vulnerable or voiceless than the child in the womb. And so, Father, I just pray that if anything I've shared, anything Mike has shared during this past hour has touched the hearts of the listeners, Lord, that you would draw them to the clinic, that you would cause them to be a support system, even if it's just prayer or if it's financial giving or if it's coming in and actually being the hands and feet of Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you would go out and that you would draw those in who need to be a part of what we do. And we welcome them, Lord. We ask you to bring them to us, Lord. And I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this opportunity to share what's on your heart for pro-life in our city. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. And thank you for joining us for Christ Today, We'll talk with you, or rather talk a little bit at you next week. Thank you.
Velazquez Flying Carpet Man in Chico says safety behind the wheel starts with you, the driver. Safe driving isn't child's play, so drive carefully whenever children are near. This message is proudly sponsored by Velazquez Flying Carpet Man Incorporated. Proud to be improving your family's lives by improving the place you call home. Call Velazquez Flying Carpet Man to the rescue for deep cleaning and more. Call them at 530-981-1271. That's 530-981-1271.
His majestic name. Today's reading from the Word. We're reading these days from the Psalms, and now Psalm 8. For the choir director on the Gittith, a Psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him? And the Son of Man, that you care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 9, for the choir director on Muth Laban, a Psalm of David. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you, for you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins, and you have uprooted the cities. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord abides forever. He has established his throne for judgment, and he will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. declare among the peoples his deeds. For he who requires blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may tell of all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made, in the net which they hid. Their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. In the work of his own hands the wicked is snared. Haggaiian Selah. The wicked will return to Sheol, even all the nations who forget God. For the needy will not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the afflicted perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Selah. For the past few minutes, our path has been lit by the lamp of God's Word, the Bible. This is The Word, a ministry supported by listeners. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 444, Paradise, California, 95969.